Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
You ready?
Yes.
Welcome to Rachel Uncensored, the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. Hi, I'm Rachel, and I'm here with my best joy. Wow.
Your best joy.
No, my best friend. I'm so stressed because does the camera look crooked? Does it? I'm stressing.
Yeah, I think it does.
I apologize. I'm here with my best friend. And my best joy. Joy is her name.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I did the thing that I do every once in a while. I go, you know how like you kind of, your emotions have a, what's it called? Cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm doing good. And then I'm like, oh, I'm doing so good that I got ahead. And I was like, oh, I can get even more ahead. And then I stopped doing things because
you were so ahead.
Because I was so ahead. And then I get behind and then I get stressed.
Yes.
And then I work a bunch until I get ahead again. It's like that cycle I'm in.
Yes.
So this happens to me once. I want to say every 3 months where I get ahead and then I just don't work because I work best with procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
I work best under pressure and it's a bad trait to have.
Yeah.
Like it's great that I work well under pressure. Like give me an emergency. I will shine.
I'm the same way. I work great under pressure and usually when I'm under that pressure, then I'll get more things done because I've gotten so much done.
Yes.
And then I procrastinate again.
Yes. But I get mad at myself. And then every 3 months it gets really bad where I get to this point and it just puts my emotions in a funk.
Because
then I start getting annoyed at like everything else.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have so much to do.
Yeah.
How dare anyone look at me?
Or ask anything of me.
Yes. And then I have to put myself in check and be like, that's not their fault that you procrastinated this much. It's not their fault that you didn't work when you were supposed to. So that is my funk. And so today is a Sunday and I'm going to film 2 podcasts and edit a main channel video all in one day.
Yay.
Because I was supposed to do that over 3 days last week and I didn't.
Yay.
Yay.
Well, the main point here is you always end up getting it done.
I always get it done. If it's a main channel or a podcast, I get it done.
Yeah.
Vlogs, I'll skip a one or two.
Yeah. Editing's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when you have multiple things that you're watching the video over and over and over again.
It's a tedious task.
It is.
Editing is easy. So like if you know how to do it.
The act itself isn't challenging.
No, it's just tedious. And when you're on your own boss, which you know, you are the only one that's forcing you to do it.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you can make excuses on excuses to not do it.
Well, editing too, it's not physically straining, but mentally it is.
Oh, you just want to sleep?
Yeah.
And eat the whole time.
You don't realize how overstimulated you're making yourself listening to the same things over and over again until you're almost done. And then you look at the clock and you're like, I've been doing this for how long?
Yeah. The worst, I always try, not always, I've tried it multiple times where I'm like, I have a busy day tomorrow. I'm going to edit tomorrow's vlog in bed.
Yeah.
Like before I go to bed, like with Abby, she'll be watching something. And so I just lay in bed and I edit and it makes me so sleepy.
I can't
keep my eyes open. I only get like halfway through it and then I'm asleep.
I'm sure.
So
especially in bed. Yeah.
Oh yeah. If you're laying down.
Yeah.
Whew, I'm glad. It's really nice having a separate office.
It's kind of like watching TikToks or something, like when you're in bed, you know how you're just watching something and then it just starts to like make you doze off?
Your eyes get heavy. Yeah. Oh, I love when my eyes get heavy. I love that feeling when I want to go to sleep and my eyes get heavy. I'm like, yes.
Yes. I love it. Turn off the TV.
Yes. I'm going to go sleepy.
The worst is though, is when you feel it and you're like starting to fall asleep and then about 10 minutes go by and you're like, it's gone. It's not happening. Oh,
I saw people have said this and it's very relatable, so I'll repeat it. I hate that the couch sleepiness doesn't transfer to the bed.
I agree.
When you are getting sleepy on that couch and you're just like, okay, I can do this. I can go to bed. You get yourself off the couch. You get into bed and you're like, well, now I'm wide awake.
Yeah.
What are we watching?
Or I remember hearing sometime in my life that like it takes a person on average like 7 minutes to fall asleep. So that always comes to my head where I'm like, okay, just 7 minutes, I'm going to be asleep. 7 minutes, I'm going to be asleep. And then I'm like so focused on 7 minutes. And then I check my phone and I'm like, it's been 15. I'm not going to sleep.
Abby doesn't like to fall asleep to TV.
Yeah.
And it's not healthy too.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not good for your eyes.
It's not good for your brain, your dreams, everything. So a lot of the times, like I've gotten used to falling asleep without it.
Yeah.
We have the fan going, there's noise, but I've been trying to train myself to do no TV. And there's some days where I haven't had a moment to rest all day. And so I don't want to go to sleep. I want to decompress.
Yeah.
I want to lay there and decompress. And I'm like, babe, I'm wired. I can't fall asleep. I need TV. And she goes, just try.
Yeah.
Just try for 10 minutes. And if you can't, then you can turn the TV on.
Yeah.
But just try. And I 9 out of 10 times I fall asleep.
Good.
And it's...
it's a challenge for me too. There's some nights where it's just not happening.
Oh, yeah. No, there's those. And then I have headphones. I put my headphones in and watch TV on my phone. But...
and I learned too, Dylan, when he went to go get his like prescription redone and his eyes checked, he was getting like irritations and like bags and stuff under his eyes. And so we were talking to the doctor about that. And she was like, do you guys go to sleep with the TV on? And we're like, yeah, every night.
Yeah.
And she said, if you fall asleep with the TV on because of the blue light or whatever that comes off the TV, you don't fully go to sleep. And when you're fully asleep, your eyes like naturally clean themselves and like clean the bacteria or something too in your eyes.
What?
So with the blue light, that process doesn't happen, I guess. And so you're more likely to have irritations and your eyes are really foggy. And
my
it was
God.
Really weird to like hear. Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, it is bizarre.
I've noticed since I got my eye surgery, the bags under my eyes aren't as prominent.
Yeah.
And I think it's because my eyes were getting so irritated wearing contacts all the time.
Probably.
And, you know, my fingers going in and out of an eye. And then I got eyelash extensions, so I can't rub my eyes.
Yeah.
But I did notice after my eye surgery, my eyes are really dry in the morning.
Oh, really?
I ran out of drops, so I haven't been using them. But yeah, my eyes get really dry. But I've noticed like the bags in my eyes stopped, and it's because I'm not messing with my eyes
much. They definitely look a lot less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm actually getting less sleep right now.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
It also could be my face routine.
That's true.
I mean, I've got a really good nighttime, and then I just added more to my morning routine. So I need to do a tick. You're going to knock over the microphone, aren't you? Blaze, up. Come here, dog of the day. Oh, there shit. It is.
Lay down. Oh,
you should be chill. You played with Jeter today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you have to say?
What, him? He's just going to lick. We took off his collar, so he's a naked boy today.
Naked. No kisses on a face piece.
All right. So for this podcast, I did ask people to ask questions. It was all the same. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I thought it would just be fun I tried to do this with my mom and it didn't work out because it was a fine podcast, but
I'm trying to get him to stop looking right into the microphone. I'm not even looking at him. Hey.
Blaze, stop.
You're okay.
No face. Oh my God. He just keeps licking into the microphone. I'm going to cut it all out because I hate that sound. And so I don't want anyone else to have this. I'm going to just grab you by the skin of your neck.
Just stop.
Someone did say this. I'm going to do my own solo pop. Okay, we'll get to the thing I have planned eventually. But someone said, and I don't know if this is true or not, when I do solo podcasts, lately I've liked to do, tell me a mind-blowing fact that you've learned.
Okay.
And someone said, and I'm going to run it by you, that dogs lifting their legs to pee is a learned behavior. And female dogs can even pick it up. And I don't believe them.
From what I understand.
Joy's a dog trainer, by the way.
Yes. From what I understand is that, yes, it could be a learned behavior just like anything. However, for the most part, the reason why dogs lift their legs is because they're trying to get their scent higher. They want to be like high up. That's why a lot of small dogs will like pee like in a handstand or something, because they're they're trying to get their pee higher, like where the big dogs pee are. So I think that it's
more instinctual.
Yeah, more communication as well. I think that they're leaving pee mail. They get a lot of information through each other's pees. So I think they're just trying to put it in a predominant spot.
Yeah.
To be able to not necessarily like claim that spot, but be like, I was here too.
Yeah. Because I got to say, like, Blaze didn't grow up with other dogs.
And yeah.
Puppy boys do pee like girl dogs do. They squat. And then as they become teenagers, they usually learn to lift their leg. Well,
but girl dogs lift their legs too. It's definitely not just one gender thing. Oh, yeah.
Little
thing.
Dog, she'll lift one leg up. But yeah. I feel like it's because she's trying to squat as close as she can to the ground. And her other leg's in the way. And she like just squats down. But I don't think he never saw another dog lift their leg and be like, yeah, that's what I got to do.
Yeah, no, Louis was the same way. I don't think he learned from anyone else either.
But Jeter's your teenage dog.
Yeah.
He squats still.
For the most part. Every once in a while he lifts his leg, but he mostly lifts his leg if we're like out on a walk or something.
Yeah.
If we're in the backyard, and again, I think it's just because he knows his brothers, he's not worried about putting his pee in a predominant spot.
Yeah, because Snoop does that. And when we're at home, Snoop pees like in a squat, and we're out on a walk, he lifts his leg.
Yeah. So I think it's more so for communication than it is anything else. But I'm sure it also could be a dog could see, because dogs also learn through mirroring techniques where they see one dog or human do something and then they repeat it. But it's lifting a leg, I think, is more of an instinct than it is anything else.
I mean, it might be like, I've been wanting to put my pees taller, higher. Oh, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
But that, I think they'd figure it out regardless.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's dogs out there that just don't ever do it.
I would like to see that, because one reason I love my big boys, but I will never own boy dogs again, because I don't like all the marking they do. I don't like all the leg lifting they do, because the girl dogs they do pee on the walks to leave their scent.
I've had a different experience. My female pug was a marker, not in the house, but on walks and stuff. My sister's female pug, Layla, she's very, not dominant, but she's very confident. She's a marker. She's a big marker.
But in the house?
Not in the house.
See, that's my big thing, is I've seen the boy dogs want to pee in the house and have peed in the house to mark.
Well, her pug is in the house, actually. Mine wasn't. But
yeah, and the girl dogs, when you're outside, mark all you want. I don't care what gender you are. But in the house, I've only seen, in my experience, boy dogs mark in the house.
Yeah. No, and I've seen both, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their things.
Oh, I'm so tired of you peeing on my things. Like, when I leave something outside, it's going to get peed on. If it's outside, it will be peed on.
Yeah. It's true.
And I don't like that anymore.
No. Yeah. I could agree with that.
Yes. That's not fun. I'll leave like cornhole out there. Like, now it's pee hole.
Yeah.
All right. So before we move on to what I have planned for today, let's check to see if we have a sponsor for today. Sponsor. ZocDoc. ZocDoc is our sponsor for today. If you've lived life at all, you know that sometimes you just have to compromise. Especially when you're dealing with finances or other people in your life, it's just inevitable. But when it comes to your health, there should be no compromising. So don't go to those doctors that don't listen to you or take slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book appointments with doctors who you feel comfortable with, that listen to you and prioritize your health. You can search by location, availability, and insurance. There is no compromising with ZocDoc. You have more options than you're even aware of. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. If you want to try it out, I highly suggest it. Go to ZocDoc.com/Rachel and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/Rachel. ZocDoc.com/Rachel.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
So what I wanted to do with my mom, and it didn't end up happening because I just don't think it really like was the vibe, is we're going to go on a first date.
Okay.
So I've looked up first date questions
okay.
that therapists say you're supposed to ask on the first date to see if you're compatible. So we are going to see if we are compatible.
Let's do it.
All right, let me get my phone out. It's in my pocket. Hold
I've
on.
Been waiting for this. It's my moment.
Finally,
I get the answers.
Oh my god. Okay. So if we think we're a match, do we end up dating?
Probably.
Okay. We'll tell Dylan and Abby.
Yeah.
They'll be like, all right. We thought you guys already were.
Bye.
Yeah. All right. What made you interested in going out with me?
I really like your personality.
Oh, okay.
I really like your smile.
Oh, thank you.
I like the fact that you're tall.
Oh.
You make me feel small.
Oh.
And I feel like I could learn a lot from you.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. All right. Should I reverse it?
Why did you want to go out with me?
Okay. You're hot as fuck.
Thank you.
Big old titties.
Oh, thank you.
Your interest in dogs.
Oh.
Because I have a similar interest in dogs.
Very true.
I felt an immediate spark of a connection.
I love it.
You make me laugh harder than anyone else. I love your laugh.
Oh, thank you.
And I think we could rule the world together.
Yes, I would agree. It's starting out really good.
I think this is a great match so far.
Are we in love?
Are we dating? Are we married?
Should we just get out of here?
The other day, Abby is, her love language is acts of service.
Mm-hmm.
So she will make me all the food. She will clean all my clothes. She will, every day we go, do you need anything from me? We ask each other that. You heard her ask me that this morning.
Yeah.
Sure, love language is acts of service through and through.
I also asked you that this morning.
And Joy, my other girlfriend, is also.
What do you need me to do?
What do you need? So, then Abby will say, it's like she's on the quieter side. And so she'll give me compliments, but it's not her like go-to.
Yeah.
If she feels like she loves me and wants to let me know, she'll go do something for me.
Yeah.
Whereas I will constantly be giving compliments, constantly doing like, I do all of that. I want to make you sure you feel loved.
Yeah.
So I'm going to master all the love language techniques and just shower you with
them. Yes.
But we were in the car the other day. We picked up food and we sat in the car and we're waiting for you guys to come downtown. And Abby was like, well, what do you want to do while we wait? And I said, okay, we'll just tell each other the reasons, all the reasons why we love each other.
Worst nightmare.
I was expecting her to roll her eyes.
Yeah.
And she listed 50 Aww. Things. And I was like, and I kept staring at her and she was like, more? I said,
uh-huh.
She's like, okay. I was like, oh my God. And it was really nice to hear.
I love that.
Because like, I knew she thought of those things, but you know, like you want to be reaffirmed. You yes. want to be reassured. You want to,
I think words of affirmation, just will go well for anyone.
Yeah. And like, yeah sometimes people can feel uncomfortable with it. And in those moments,
I just laugh.
Yeah. And I could have gone that route normally, but I was like, no, just, yeah. Just accept it. And I was listening and I sat there. It was like a solid 5 minutes.
Oh, I love that for you.
And then she was like, okay, is that good? I was like, yeah, do you want me to do you? She goes, if you want, I don't need it. And I'm constantly showering her. She walks in a fit and I'm like, oh my God, you're so hot. And like, I'm just always saying shit.
I love that.
But it was really fun. So this question's actually just, I think you could ask anyone at any time in your relationship.
Yeah.
Like, why do you like me? Why do you want to date me?
I agree.
And my therapist actually said to do that. She's like, if you ever feel like doubting, just ask, like, why are you with me?
Yeah.
Like, what do you like about me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or even just specific to the day. Like, what, was there anything I did today that you enjoyed?
Yes.
Or, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. So This one might make or break us. Okay. What are you looking for between us? Are you looking for a relationship, a casual hookup? All of the above.
Sorry. What am I looking for?
With yeah, you and I.
I'm trying to, do I give a fake
pretend
answer?
Oh, I'll tell you. I'll give you a real answer.
You go first.
A partner for life.
Oh, I love that. Me too.
Okay.
Forever and ever. Let's go, Carmine.
Where are you going with your high five?
My jacket's like getting caught. So
you're retracting. You like go and you like
hustle. Look at elbows.
There we go. Okay. And I think we will be partners for life.
I think so too.
Yes.
I feel like we've already made it through quite a bit.
Yeah.
Been 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three and a half.
Yeah.
We met at the end of 2019.
Yes.
And we were doing this like dog training class together and immediately clicked. I asked her out. 2019.
20, 21, 22.
We're about, what do you, math? Yeah.
5 years?
Four and a half. At the end of 2019 or at the beginning of 2024.
Holy shoot.
So 4.5 years.
Time has just flown by.
But yeah, 20, 21, 22, 23.
Because it just hit 24.
Yeah, so we met, and I, if you know me, you know I don't care to meet new people. Yeah. Like, I will be nice to you. I'll always be nice. But, like, I just don't have that desire to go into a bar and make new friends.
Yeah.
I'll do it. But a lot of people in my life have a strong desire to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I have a thing. No new friends. I'm good. Yeah. I'm very much intense, deep relationships with a few people versus...
You can't have, like, surface level...
Yeah, versus a bunch of surface level friends. Yeah. Like, I don't need to be like, oh, yeah, I got, like, 100 friends.
I agree. I'm the, like, same way. Before, when I was younger, definitely was fine with the more superficial, like, just big groups.
Those are great. You know, it's always nice to have friends, but
now, totally, I want to feel like I know you, feel connected to you, feel safe with you.
Yes. Like, if I consider a best friend someone where if, like, I'm going through something, I'm going to call and talk to you about it.
Yeah.
And then just, like, friends, more surface level friends, are, like, people I see all the time and I hang out with. And, like, yeah, we'll have good conversation.
Yeah.
But if I'm going through something with my family or my significant other, like, I'm not going to call them to talk to them about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, which it's like, who am I going to call?
Which is normal. I think everyone has that divide in their, you know, you have to.
Yes. And so, but it's very rare for me to initiate a new friendship. And that's just how I've always been. And the few that I have are the ones that have stuck and are the best people I know. And I will be friends with through and through. Like,
you just get that feeling like,
yeah. And like, I got,
and that was that one.
And that was when I went up to Joy and I was like, hey, you want to go to lunch? And she was like, sure. And then best friends. But so we hung out at the end of 2019 a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everything shut down. We all went our separate ways. And then at the end of 2020, I called you crying.
Yeah.
And I was like, I needed help with stuff. And it was just so weird. I was like, I need to call Joy, even though we haven't, like.
Yeah, we barely knew each other. We just knew each other from dog training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got that. I just got to call Joy. And then we've been besties since. We've been best friends since the end of 2020.
Every once in a while, I always think about that dog CPR class we took. Yeah. And how we were just cracking up laughing and
we're just class clowns together. Yes. And so inappropriate.
So yeah. But the guy was making jokes. Like, he wanted people to laugh at him.
Yeah, we were making
and
it
we
lively.
Just thought he was hilarious.
We just weren't being stuffy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
We're being fun.
Yeah.
So okay. I think okay. Now the next question. What matters to you? Asking questions that are too specific, like what are your hobbies, can unintentionally isolate the other person.
Mm.
Maybe they don't have hobbies, but ask what matters to them. So
What matters to you?
What
matters to me? My dogs.
Yes.
First and foremost. What matters to me besides my dogs? I'm like, as long as I got them. Due to trauma, my brain goes into necessities. Like, I'm very thankful for my car and for the money in my bank account. Yeah. You know, but outside of that, what matters to me? My dogs, my friends matter a lot to me.
Yeah.
Dylan matters a lot to me.
that might be a little weird on our first date, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Not your boyfriend.
Oh, I forgot.
Okay. Well,
he's not my boyfriend. He's my friend.
that happens to be a boy.
But I say if you take out like everything and it's just me, like what matters to just me, probably my like my alone time. I think that's always been something like really important to me. And it doesn't have to be like super long or anything. I just like to be able to like quiet myself and either like you'll just find me sitting in the backyard, not even on my phone, just sitting there.
Yeah.
And sometimes I look like I'm in a blank stare, you know, and people always be like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm good. I'm literally just quieting myself. Yeah. And I think that's probably always been one of the most important things to me.
I know when you do your couch time.
Yeah.
You'll do your couch time. You're on your phone or you take your naps. Yeah. I'm like,
even as a kid, I was like that, you know, my mom or somebody would be like, where'd, you know, Joy go? And I'm just sitting in bed listening to the ceiling fan, you know, like I just love chilling. A good quiet time sometimes just to like daydream or whatever. Yeah.
I for some reason, even though I work from home, I drive a lot.
Yeah.
And the driving is when I do that. I daydream a lot when I drive. And then when I do my projects is when my mind meditates.
Yeah.
And I can do projects with other people, but when I do projects by myself, that's my like meditation time where I'm at peace and stuff. Thank you for asking what matters with me.
What?
What matters most to you? As you were speaking, I was trying to think of mine while listening to you. But when you said alone time, it sparked my health and my fitness matters a lot to me.
Yeah, it does.
And it's like, I am not a fitness guru. I am I don't want to be a bodybuilder. I'm not trying to achieve anything. I really like being strong, like where I'm capable and I can get things done and I can help other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so, I don't want to use the word blessed, but like blessed to have my body.
Yeah.
And I want to take care of it. And I'm someone that struggles with like genetic stuff. Like I have arthritis in my knees.
Mm-hmm.
My shoulders I can cuss here. My shoulders are fucking going. And there's just parts of me where I'm like, that's annoying. And so I want to take care of me as good as possible. When I see people just like kind of give up like in their older years, I'm like, no, keep moving.
Yeah.
Keep doing. Like your body is capable of so many things. And that's so cool.
It's so, being at the age range that I am now, that is something I'm very conscious of when I'm around older people is the total difference between somebody who has taken care of their body and somebody and they'll only be like in their 60s.
Yeah.
But the difference, like one person who hasn't taken care of their body looks like they're pushing late 70s and the person who's 60s, like, you could pass for like 50, 45. Yeah.
And it's not even about looking either. I know what you mean, but I'm also saying like
strength.
Yeah. Like you can tell they keep moving.
Yeah. And even your mind is different.
Yeah. And so like I want to take care. And I also, I used to eat a lot of junk food. Mm-hmm. I used to like, I just didn't care about what went into my body. And now that I still eat junk food and Taco Bell, hello, but I'm a little more mindful of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I used to be constantly dehydrated.
Yeah.
And now I can see how much better I feel emotionally when I take care of myself physically. So my health and my fitness matter a lot, but not to the point where I think I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I just have created a lifestyle for me that really, really works. And I always want to keep that. No, I think you do great. Yeah. When I don't work out regularly, like I don't have to work out every single day, but regularly.
Yeah.
I can feel my emotions.
But you do it enough now for it being a lifestyle where it won't affect you if 1 week you get three or four workouts in, small ones.
And I have to be aware that I went on a hike yesterday and I wanted to do an arm workout, but I was like, the hike was enough. I'm busy.
Yeah.
And like the day before that, I was so busy with work. I had to prioritize and I was like, okay, but we'll get back into it. And that's fine. It's when I would take months off.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I feel so bad. I'm like, I don't like this, but and then my dogs matter. My family, my friends.
Yeah.
I love traveling. I love experiencing new things. That always matters to me. I never want to stop learning and growing and experiencing.
I agree with that too.
I never want to be just complacent where I am.
I always tell myself, I always want to assume the position of the student. Always.
Yes.
I've never been the teacher, always open to learning new things or understanding new ways of like looking at things. And
I know that I'm never going to stop learning.
Yeah.
There's always something more. All right. Before we move on, my battery's going to die.
Okay.
So let's check to see if we have another sponsor for today. Sponsor.
And we're back.
Clappy, clappy.
I always give the guest the better mic stand because I don't want you to fiddle. Mainly it's for me with editing, because if it's a shitty mic stand, you're going to be fiddling it the whole time I am. But then I have a shitty... I just need to buy myself a new mic stand, basically, is what I'm getting at. We don't need to talk about politics.
No.
We're on the same wavelength with that. What? Oh, here we go. Okay, back to knowing if I want to marry you. What does your work-life balance look like?
Work-life balance look like? I love working. Mm-hmm. I've always been a workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
I am very bad at saying no to scheduling more work, even when I should probably give myself a break. But it has been something I've been way more conscious of. I'm trying to figure out a healthy balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I told myself this year I am going to make time to make it to more like girls' nights and things I need it.
The group here recently was like, we've been seeing a lot more of Joy.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah. I need it. It helps me so much. And like, I don't have family really. So you guys are my family. So I feel like I'm starting to come up with a healthy balance, especially because I like that we do girls' nights on Thursdays. Like, there's a few things that are to be expected, so it helps me kind of like plan with it.
Yeah,
I think that's the other hard part, is our group is spontaneous a lot of times, or there's just so much of us that you hear the information through the grapevine.
There's always so much fucking going on.
And I always have my schedule usually booked out like 2 weeks in advance.
Yes.
So last minute doesn't work well, but I'm figuring that out. I'm trying to be shift with it. I'm also have that mindset of like, if I have 3 sessions in a day and I'll be done working by like 3, but then we're doing something at like 6.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't have time my whole day. And I do. So I'm trying to get out of that mindset too of like, you can work and have fun in the same day.
Yes.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm figuring out a healthy balance and it's going well.
Yeah.
What about you?
I was overworked and I had to take work away from myself because I care about my happiness and my relationships a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I will make a little bit less money, but I will be more fulfilled in my life.
Yes.
And so I went with that. And that's been working really well for me. I try and clock out by 5 or 6 every day.
Good.
And then there are some times where I have to work on the weekends. And there's some times where I'm like, I have to blow off work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can make it up.
Yeah. Like
which is what I'm doing today.
That was me the other night. It was hard. It was literally like 11 something at night. And it was the day that the dog that tried to attack me that I got into that whole thing with.
Oh,
so by the end, and it was a 2-hour session. So by the end of that session, and I had 2 more before that, I didn't realize, like literally driving home, I had to keep my eye, like I was falling asleep. I was so tired. And so I got home and I was exhausted. I was in bed. I fell asleep for a couple hours. And then I woke up to a client calling me at like 11 something.
PM?
Yeah. And so, and I didn't answer it because I'm like, no, what's happening? But I already in my head, I'm like, something bad must have happened because who would call me at this time? And then I get the voicemail and it's a client who is fostering this dog who has some resource guarding issues. And he bit the husband like really, really bad.
Oh.
And I'm listening to the voicemail and she's like freaking out, you know? And I look at Dylan and I go, I feel like I should call her back. But I'm like, but I'm just your dog trainer. I'm not the rescue. I don't own this dog. You know, I can't get into my car at 11 and come drive to you in Woodland Hills and like patch up your husband's hands or something. Like, I'm not a doctor. Like, I had to tell myself, there's literally me calling you back right now will literally do nothing for you.
Yeah.
But I felt so bad because I'm like, this is a client. They need me. This is what they pay me for. And I was like telling Dylan, and Dylan was like, it is almost midnight.
Yeah.
You are exhausted.
Yeah.
He's like, you need to just lay down and go to sleep. There's nothing you can do for her. And he's like, and keep in mind, he's like, you communicate with your clients so much, you technically only get paid for the hour that you're actually at their home.
Yeah.
And I like have to, but that's the part where I don't give myself enough boundaries with my job. If somebody needs me, and that I'm working on as
I've known that about you, that I know that if I call and say, I need you, she's there.
Yeah.
And I don't take that for granted. I use that as like, small as I can.
But I'm telling myself I need to do that for the right people.
Yeah.
Like, love my clients. I have to have boundaries with that. But like my best friend. Yeah.
Yes. But I don't want you to drop everything for me unless it's like life or
you
death.
Really need it. Yes. Yeah.
Like when Abby's in the hospital, I even said, like, you do not have to stay here.
Yeah.
I can make it work. if you stay here, I'd be grateful, but like, you do not have to.
And I was like begging
to stay.
I was like, I want to stay here.
Don't kick me out, please. I'll pay rent.
I'm like, oh, Abby, is there another day?
No.
She okay? Great. I'm gonna stay.
Oh my God.
But, okay. But all in all, I think I'm starting to find a healthy balance. I'm trying to tell myself, you know, after 7 p.m., no more responding to clients.
Yeah.
It's amazing though how some people are so pushy. I don't answer at 7 p.m. and I get another one at 8 or another one at 9. And I'm like, leave me alone.
Yeah, there's some people I've seen that either you put your do not disturb on so they see that you're on do not disturb, or you say, hey, I will contact you first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And like, you could do that.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, she'll contact me first thing in the morning.
I've done that with a few people who kept texting, but the crazy part is because you respond, there are some people who think like, okay, just this real quick.
Oh, like, yeah.
So I just have to not respond.
I think you need to put your do not disturb on, but then you have it where you have a list of people who can, it doesn't do that too.
Yeah.
So
I want for text messages, like emails where you can send like a kickback where it says, hey, my hours of operation are between this time, she'll get back to you, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, without me having to type that.
Yeah.
But I've thought about it where like I could just have that typed up and copy and paste, but it's also a text message. So you're gonna be like, you've just texted this to me.
Yes.
You know, so do not disturb is probably better. If I could go back in time, I would have started this whole business
with
a separate phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had two phones with my last job and I hated it. So I was like, I told myself this time, like, no, I'll just use my, no, never again.
Yeah.
Never again.
Yeah. All right.
Next question.
What would you do if you had a week off?
Oh my God. Probably be here.
You wouldn't even ask.
No.
You just show up.
Show up. Hi, I have a week off. Let's I'll be in party. The guest room.
See ya.
Yeah. If I
on
had
a couch with your blanket.
Yeah. You just walk out and I'm just there.
You find my robes. You start wearing my robes around the house.
It's like 7 a.m. You're coming out to make yourself coffee. I already have your coffee.
You would be my housewife.
Yeah.
You would just be like, if I say,
hey. If I end up moving down the street, that's probably what's going to happen.
You're just going to be my housewife.
Yeah, it's going to be a goal to try to get into your house without one of your cameras telling you.
You crawling through the fucking doggy door. Snoop's like, what the fuck?
I get stuck.
Snoop and Blaze just come over and lick your face. Oh, man, if I had a week off, I've said this a lot. Like, if the videos are just up already and I don't lose any money, I don't lose any views, and I'm like, I just can't work.
You don't have to worry about work. Yeah.
Nothing. All of the projects in my house I would get done.
Oh.
I want to put those privacy bushes up. I want to put that gate in. I want to brick in the dirt. I want to build my table. I need to finish my bathroom. I have to patch the hole in the wall that we thought a pipe was leaking, but it was really my cat peeing everywhere. there are so many projects that I am dying to do. But with projects, it's not, oh, you just go patch the hole. It's like, you have to go to Lowe's, you have to buy all the shit for it. And doing drywall, it's about a 3-day process because you have to mud, then sand, then mud, then sand, then mud, then sand.
Remember when you were doing
my gym?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And like the table I want to build, the sanding and the staining and the
I couldn't believe how fast you did your gym. I saw how you got more done. Yeah. I thought to myself, my garage or my gym would have stayed in the first stage condition for like 3 years.
I mean, if I brought in reinforcements for that and I dedicated days to it.
Yeah.
And that's what I have to do.
Power it out.
My bathroom, the only reason it's to the point that it is because Abby's dad came in and installed, he did the floor and the toilet.
Yeah.
And they bought a sink. I have to hook it up and I have to do the baseboards and I have to do everything. And like,
you just got a bunch of small little things.
Yes, that all need 1 to 2 full days attention.
Yeah.
Because with projects, you get all your stuff out and then you start and then you're like, okay, now I got to put all my stuff away.
Well, this would be perfect because your week off, you do projects. My week off, I'm here. So I help you with the projects. I think this is working
out
really well.
Have you ever helped me with a project?
Yeah.
With my dogs, but like painting, building, sanding.
Was moral support while you were building
the
chameleon thing.
Oh,
remember when you were putting up your lights and I got up and I stood there with you?
You stood there with me. You stood there with me.
I'm like, what else?
You know, there is one thing you did help me with.
What?
When back in my old house, you helped me put together my outdoor furniture when it got delivered.
I did do that.
And we carried that shit from my garage all the way around the house to the backyard. It was heavy.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of it.
We did do that.
And we had to, the worst part was getting out of the boxes.
I've gone with you and Abby to the junk place when we had.
You did.
Remember the dirt?
Yes. Okay. That is an actual project.
That was a project.
That was a hard one.
Yeah.
Oh man, all the projects I would get done.
And I'm looking around
that.
All the projects you I helped with that.
The cork wall.
I did.
That was Emily's project.
I hated that.
Look at it. It's terrible. It's awful.
It literally was falling apart while she was still putting it up.
Oh God. I did the floors in here. I painted all of it. I did all the
did
molding.
All of this.
Yeah.
You did
I've
those
done a lot.
Door. Didn't you do that door?
No, I had people put in the doors because I just.
No, you've done a lot so far at this house.
Yeah. What? Did I do those doors?
I feel like you did.
No, I didn't.
I don't.
Did I? No. I had to take the doors off and saw the bottoms off because the old flooring was thinner than the new flooring and the doors wouldn't close. So I had to take the doors off and take a little off of the bottom.
Yeah.
And luckily they're solid doors, so I could. No one cares about that. Anyway.
Anyway.
I wish I could do it.
So I'd be moral support for your projects.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I'm like, okay, what if I did that? I could give myself a week off if I like busted my ass, but then.
Should we do that? Should we just schedule a week off together? And then I'll actually like, you know, do things with my hands with you.
We could.
That was a naughty sentence.
Do things with my hands with you.
And I'm going like this. What is this?
And on our first date, Joy.
I know. Naughty.
Naughty, naughty.
Naughty.
Oh, we could.
Do naughty things.
No! Oh. God damn it!
We could, though. Take off a week. We can't just say and do naughty things and keep saying we could. We have to go. We could take a week off together and get projects done.
We could.
We should. Maybe we should.
First week of May?
Yeah.
Let's check our schedules real quick. I love being an adult where oh my God, that's a month and a half away. By the way, like when could we do a project?
The fact that it's a month and a half away makes me feel better.
Oh, Allie and Holland will be here the first week of May.
Okay.
So maybe the last week of, but see if Abby knows I have a fucking week off, she's gonna be like, let's go snowboarding.
Yeah, I know. No, we send her somewhere with someone else to like a spa day or something.
I want to do that.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, what the fuck? You gotta send my girlfriend away with somebody else?
I mean, like Zara or something.
Like, this is my fucking plan. Yeah. Get Abby out. Where? I will be the housewife.
Step
I will
one,
do things with my hands.
Convince her to have a podcast about how compatible we are. Step two, convince her to take a whole week off with me.
She will see what life is like with me.
Step three, get Abby out of the house.
Send her away
with the little.
Oh my God, you fucking love Abby.
Yeah, I do.
You two lately have just been two fucking peas in a pod.
I think we're finally getting out of like, oh, we're so similar, maybe we should rival phase to, oh, we're so similar that like, we should just sit on the couch and look
make
at TikToks.
Rachel
and
do everything.
Not,
yeah, no, you guys don't. You both are like, you both say baby.
Yeah.
You need help.
You need help with anything.
And you guys just both look so cute on the couch. I'm like, no, you two sit. Yeah. You two have.
Stay there.
You be cute. Tell me, do you guys need anything?
Like when I almost got up to get the remote myself, but then I knew you were going to come back in the room. So I waited.
And Abby knew what you were doing. Yeah.
I was like, oh, the remote. We both looked at each other and we're like,
go wait. We'll
she'll
wait.
Be back.
You guys, I have a thing. I will do anything for my girls. And that girls, it could be
I
the dogs or my friends or my girlfriend.
I don't like when we're together and you're doing stuff and it's just me like sitting there. I don't like that feeling. I want to help.
I understand.
But because Abby is on the couch with me,
yes.
I feel seen. I feel validated. And I don't feel like a
she
dick.
She feels the same way. So she loves when people sleep over and they hang out on the couch
and do
with
nothing,
her.
Yeah.
Because she's like, yes,
I'm like,
I have
she's
someone.
Doing it. So
yes.
It's okay.
Because I have a really hard time just sitting and doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, me too.
I have a really hard time with it.
And even not to cut you off, even on the days where I should just relax and I haven't been doing too much, and I've gotten up, done stuff with the dogs, but I'm in bed. When Dylan's about to come home from work, in my mind, it's probably because my parents. In my mind, yes, I think to myself, like, oh, I need to, like, make the bed or make it look like I did something today.
Yes.
Meanwhile, like, I cleaned up the dog poop. I took the dogs out. Like, I did things, you know? I did laundry, but, like...
I mean, the other day, I work in my office, but I go in every hour. I can't just... not. I have to go get some FaceTime, some interaction, some something. I gotta like go do something, not get out of my office. So like once every hour, I either go take Blaze out or I go do something. And every time, there was a day where every time I walked in, Abby was sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything of it. I don't care what she does with her time is hers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, unless I was like, hey, you need, can you please do this? And she was like, sure. And just never did it. Then it'd be one thing. But she's, I don't know. And I just didn't think anything of it. It was just, and I walked back in and out all day and she was just on the couch. And then later in the evening, she goes, I don't want you to think I was doing nothing all day. And I was like, what? And she was like, I thought, she was like, I noticed every time you walked in, I was sitting on the couch, but while you were in your office, I was doing the laundry, I was cooking, I was cleaning, I was doing this thing. I was like, yeah, I didn't think that you were, I was like, one, I didn't care if you were, but two, and she was like, I just got frustrated that every time I sat down to take a 5-minute break, you walked through the door.
Oh my God, that's like, so funny.
I was like, no,
for me,
you're
it
good.
Definitely comes from childhood because now thinking about it, when my dad would come home from work at the end of the day around like 6, 7, he would come in, he wouldn't say hi or anything to anyone, and he would just slowly start walking around the house. And if there were things left out or dishes in the sink, or and he wouldn't say anything to you, he would walk away, he'd go get into a fight with my mom about it. Then my mom would come down and just rip us all a new one.
Wow, that's extremely unhealthy.
Yeah, so it was like, I think that's for sure where it comes from. Where I'm like, oh, I have, like, somebody's coming back into the house. I have to, like, have to do something. Yeah. Oh,
yeah, when I see someone cleaning, I think I have to help because my mother, bless her heart, her and I are best friends now, but she took care of 4 kids and my dad worked his butt off, but he had to travel a lot for his job. And so my dad was out of town a lot working and providing. And when he was home, he helped. And, you know, he always called and checked. Like, he was a very attentive father. He was a good dad. But my mom had to do the house and the kids all by herself.
Yeah.
While being her own person.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
Which I think so many people don't understand how much work that is.
Yeah. And so she would get at her wit's end. We're 4 rambunctious kids that would leave our shit everywhere. And she would just, she'd snap. And validly, and just go, she would go and she'd clean and she'd be upset and like we had to help.
Yeah.
So if my mom was cleaning and you weren't, oh no.
Yeah.
You had to like, oh my God, you'd run to your room and start cleaning. Like, oh shit, mom's cleaning. Yeah, we gotta clean.
We gotta clean.
And so when I see someone else clean, I think it's like ingrained in me that they're mad that I'm not cleaning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like I feel I have to.
Yeah.
But when I'm cleaning, I don't want people to help me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want that.
You like to do it way you do it.
Yeah, and I want to do it myself. And so, like, a lot of times, Abby and I will just, like, take separate rooms.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, I'm vacuuming. She's like, okay, I'll go clean the bathroom. And, like, so if we are cleaning together because a party's going to happen or something.
Yeah.
We do separate chores and not do them together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that works really, really well. But, yeah, it's childhood. However your parents taught you to clean is how you're
going to do it. I like cleaning by myself because if we cleaned a room together, like if it was me and my sister, one of my sisters cleaning the bathroom together, my dad would always come inspect it. And if she was in charge of doing the mirrors or something and like in the corner missed water spots or something, we're both getting in trouble for that.
Inspected?
Oh, insane. Insane. We used to have, we have tile in the bathroom and stuff. He used to make us take toothpicks and run it through the little lines in the tiles to get all the grime and gunk up. And even in his bathroom, a bathroom we weren't even allowed to use.
That is so...
a lot of cleaning.
What the fuck?
Yeah, Sundays. That's why now, as an adult, Sundays are what I call sleepy Sundays. Because I'm lazy on Sundays. Sundays in my household growing up, those were cleaning days. You do not sleep in. We're up by 7:30. We go to church. We eat lunch. We come home. We clean.
What the fuck? Sundays here are called Grandpa Joe days.
Grandpa Joe days.
From Willy Wonka. He just laid in bed all day.
Yeah.
He could have gotten up.
Yeah.
He could have.
Yeah.
And he will if it's really fucking cool.
Yeah.
But he's going to stay in bed.
Yeah.
So Grandpa Joe days, we all lay on the couch. Well, I lay till about 1 p.m. and then I get up.
Yeah. I love being able to just relax on Sunday. So Saturdays are usually like laundry, cleaning days if I'm not doing a fun thing.
Oh, yeah, I like doing my chores on Sunday. I like getting everything done on Sunday. So it starts my week off on the right foot.
Yeah.
Man, this is a phenomenal first date.
It is. It's going really well.
I feel like the conversation's just a flowing.
I feel like I've known you, but I'm getting to know more of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I might propose
Should
at the end of this.
Should we take our shirts off?
Oh, I went a loyal commitment and you went naked.
I was thinking, like, in my mind, I'm like, let's just get more vulnerable.
Man, you and Abby are very similar.
In my mind, vulnerability is naked.
Naked.
Do you want to see my big heart?
So I have to say, I know you feel safe and comfortable with me because you have, this sounds so dirty and it's not, have wanted me to massage you. There's no way for this to sound.
Rachel.
No.
She is trying to get in your hand.
So I know Joy doesn't like physical touch.
Yeah.
Unless
from people I don't trust or know.
Yes. And I am someone, I don't do it that much anymore. I give good shoulder massages.
Yes.
And this is just
very good with your hands.
It all sounds dirty. What
you work out for.
Dirty. It all sounds dirty. But like,
I didn't know what to do when you first started going like that. Usually, like, when the first touch happens, even if I love you and know you, my body immediately goes like, oh my God, alarm bells, you're going to die.
You recoil.
Yeah. But when you did, I was like, I heard birds chirping. And I'm pretty sure a little fairy like flew by. I was in a whole nother world.
As a kid, my sister used to always be like, massage my shoulders or whatever. And so I learned how to massage. And her friends would pay me $10.
Hell yeah.
To give them a 30-minute shoulder massage. Like, I just sit there and watch TV and massage. And they're just like, bah.
Yes.
And then in high school, my friends and I would all exchange massages. We have massage trains in like theater. We're all sitting in the aisles.
Yeah, that
massaging.
Was such a theater choir thing. We did that too.
And then as an adult, I'm just like, someone's like, oh, my shoulder hurts, my neck hurts. I'm like, here, I got you. And I just massage, because I love massages. Mm-hmm. And I know how good it feels for someone to just happily and willingly just give you a 10-minute massage. And oh my God, it just makes your muscles feel so
and
much better.
And want nothing in return. It's like, wild.
So I'm always happy to do that. And if I don't want to, I won't.
Yeah.
And like, it's just, but if I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not doing anything, I have extra energy.
And I think I was already, I didn't even say anything. I was just going like this or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just went over like, oh, I'll massage you. And the fact that I did it, I was like, oh shit. Sometimes Joy doesn't like being touched.
Yeah.
And I'm very sensitive to that. I never want, and this isn't in a dirty sense, but I never want to touch someone who doesn't like physical touch.
Yeah.
Like, there's people I've hugged that seem
I don't think we hugged as friends too for like a while.
No.
We would sit on opposite ends of the couch.
Yeah, we would.
Like, not thinking anything.
I'm very.
But I always thought, I think it was you too that made it, because I have never, before meeting you, projected that feeling of myself onto anyone else. I've never told anyone else, like, I feel uncomfortable when I hug you, or like, how do you even tell people that? Like, I've just always dealt with it. And then when I remember one day you said to me, like, I know, I can already tell, like, you don't like hugs and stuff.
Yeah.
And you just learned that by watching me. And it was probably one of the most, like, seen moments I think I've ever felt. That for somebody to, like, dial into something so sensitive like that.
Yeah.
And then call it out in the nicest way, though, to kind of be like, I know this about you.
Yeah.
Was crazy.
Yeah. I think I learned it. My best friend in college, Rachel Wintling, she hated physical touch unless she was in a committed relationship with a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so her and I never hugged. Every once in a while, I think she would, what was it called? I think she did the monkey.
No.
Where she would just like jump on me and then jump off. But she hated it. And then I started to notice that when she hugged people, she did, because everyone loves a fucking hug, she always did a side hug.
Mm-hmm.
And I started noticing that people that do side hugs are usually people that are really uncomfortable with
side hugger.
With physical contact with someone they don't care to have contact with. And then having nieces and nephews,
it's like half in, half out.
Yes. Like, and then having nieces and nephews, they were all taught like, they no one in my family has ever been like, that's your uncle, you hug them or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's or like, yeah, it's your aunt, like, you know, give them a good night kiss or whatever.
Yeah.
It's always just been like, okay, say goodbye, but like, you don't have to hug. Like in our family, it's like, you don't have to hug, you don't have to do anything, like,
which is so important.
And I've been reading more and more about that. Like, don't.
Teaches consent at a young age. It teaches you how to say no at a young age.
Yeah.
I think young kids learning to say no is so important, because I was not taught growing up that no was okay to say to people.
Yeah.
And it effed me up growing up. And now I'm like, no.
No, I don't want to do it. But yeah, I've become more and more aware as we've gotten older that people, it's your body.
I am aware of that because I'm that way. When people side hug,
yeah,
it is a mental note I take.
Yeah, and like there's been a few people where, and Abby was like, babe, you're going to make the, like, why the fuck did you ask them that? Because like I'll give them a hug and they do a very light, fat, that and like they aren't in on it. And I've been like, oh, are you more a high fiver?
Yeah.
And like, I'll do something like that. And they're like, oh, you don't like hugs? And they're like, no, I like hugs. I'm like, well then fucking put some oomph into it.
Yeah.
And like, I'll just kind of make a joke out of it. But
I usually don't go, I will let the other person come in for it too. Mm. Like I don't assume the hug either.
Yeah. And then guys, I always shake their hand.
Yeah.
Abby's like, you're such a dude.
That's so
and she's
funny.
Like, you're always like, what a man, and like shake their hand. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
so
fucking
funny.
Know. It's just like something that comes out. But I mean, I'm a physical touch person. I love hugs. I love all that shit. But it is so important to be hyper aware of the other person.
Yeah. And the older generations, like our parents and their parents, like it was disrespectful if you didn't give a family member or somebody like a hug or something like that. Like,
and
it's
not even like, it's not a sexual thing. It's not like a predator thing. It's like some people just don't like hugs and that's okay.
Even as a kid, I hated being forced to even stand next to Santa for a freaking Christmas card, which a lot of kids do. But I've always thought in my head, like, why do I have to sit on this stranger's lap?
Yeah.
I always thought that. And it was like, oh, it's just Chris. Oh, it's just Santa. But I like hearing now a lot more parents are conscious of that.
And I've seen a lot more things where Santa's sitting in a sleigh and the kids are standing next to it. The family's standing next to it. There's a lot more of that now.
Yeah.
I actually think COVID started that.
Yeah.
And then people are like, hey, this is a lot less creepy.
And
let's
my
keep
kid's
this up.
Not screaming while taking a photo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's still the Santa lap stuff, but
it's...
There's different versions now, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I do too.
We're coming up on 53 minutes of this first day. I think we're good.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you want to pick one last question?
Did you want to get naked?
Juicy one.
Is what I thought you were gonna ask.
It
me?
Is Rachel Uncensored.
When you spend time with people, how often are you the one making the plans? I don't know why you'd ask this on a first date. But that is just something, this is just therapy.
Maybe like to see if you're kind of like a planner or like, I could see where the psychology is in that
I
question.
I guess like to learn about a person.
I will answer very honestly and say, no, I'm not. I am very good with go with the flow.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
But like for instance, not to talk about Dylan again on our date, but for his 30th birthday.
Damn it.
I'm like, I want to be a planner. I want to be able to look up events and like plan things. And I'm sure I believe in myself. I could do it. But if I have the option to opt out and just go with the flow, that's what I like to do.
Yeah. No, I feel that. And I feel like with hanging out, because of your current living situation, you don't invite people over to your house. And so, but you're not going to be like, well, you do this, but it's more likely, more common that I would be like, hey, come over.
Yeah.
Versus you being like, hey, I'm coming over.
Yes. Yes.
Which I wouldn't be mad about. Yeah. But that's just like the fact of the matter.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, sometimes I'm like, oh man, I never drive to Joy. And I'm like, well, because. But
what would we do?
Yeah. We'd have to go like do. And that's when I do see you down there is when there's an event happening.
Yeah.
But it's like when you come here, we hang out at the house. We go do a thing. We come back and we hang out at the house.
Yeah.
And if I drove down there, it's just like the 2 hours of the event. And then
the
end of it.
Which I have said many times now, I can't wait to get a place so I can finally like host a girls night or something.
Yeah,
so that's when I'll be able to like start doing that kind of stuff. But could I be a planner? Yes. Would I love to just assume the position of tell me where we're going, how much money you need
to
bring?
That.
I'm great for that.
I'm good at planning. I'm good at planning the boring shit.
Yeah.
The travel, the staying, but
perfect.
Abby,
that's the stuff I really don't like.
Well,
I can find the food and find events.
See, okay, you and Abby are the same. Because Abby does, her and I are the exact opposite, and it works so well with traveling.
Yeah.
As I book the flights and the place to stay. A lot of the time, she loves finding the Airbnbs. But I'm in charge of like booking it and making sure the dates are okay and having the directions.
Yeah.
And the contact
That's
information.
That's what Dylan does. You're very much Dylan in the relationship.
And then Abby finds the places to go, the food to eat, the events to
She did a good job with Vegas.
Oh, yeah. And because she loves that shit. So Yeah. So what I'm getting is...
We would work great together.
Because we are each other's partners. Like, we're like, you're Abby and I'm Dylan. Yeah. So we do know that this relationship would work. But I think it would be more complicated to break up with the current things and then get together.
No.
I think we'll just stay where we're at.
No, I don't think that would part would... I think that would be the easiest.
I'm just kidding. Get naked!
I have one final question.
Oh, okay. Sure.
What do you think would probably be our biggest, like, hurdle?
You and me?
Yeah.
If
we were dating.
If we were dating. Okay, but we're not breaking up Dylan and Abby or anything. We're just like, if this was an actual relationship.
Yeah, we've known each other long enough. What do we think would be our biggest, like, hurdle?
Ooh.
Trying to think.
If we were dating, your nails would have to be shorter.
That would be fine. I could do that. I could do that. Or I just always have like little acrylics so they're nice and smooth. I'm trying to think. I've never had a moment where like, I was like, oh, I don't like that. Or, oh, like.
Are you saying we would be perfect together is what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, like, what could I see us, like, disagreeing about or. We like to go to bed with the TV on.
We love dogs.
I
think if we were together. We would be living in a house that is capable of owning more dogs.
Yes.
And I would say no. And you would have a really hard time with that, of me saying no more dogs.
But with the capability. That would be our problem. That would be the problem. That would be the thing where I just add another one to the pack and just wait to see how long it takes.
And
you
I'd
to
be like, no.
I'm like, I already have a home ready for it. We're just fostering. And then 6 years go by and you're like.
I think that be like, would be died. Our biggest thing. It's like, I love animals and I am capable of handling animals. And I'm responsible as fuck with animals. But I think I've hit my limit.
But not that Abby doesn't help you. But I think with my experience, it wouldn't be as stressful as you think it would be because I would help. We would do the walks together, hikes together. I'd do all the training.
She's
I'd help you pick up.
Trying
the poop.
To convince me to get more jobs.
This would be our
this
problem.
This would be the problem.
And we're not even together.
I know. I love animals.
You probably have a bird by now, and
no.
you wouldn't
oh,
like
no.
that.
No, I do not want a bird. I don't want a fish. I don't care for reptiles that much.
I don't really want fish either.
I don't want animals that I can't
really
do things with.
I just really got the reptiles
with.
Because I couldn't get more dogs where I was. I was like, I'll get a snake.
I don't want to say. I think it would be that we would have the capabilities of owning more animals.
But I think because you and I would travel more together, that I would be okay. Because I love my animals.
Yeah.
But that recently has been a more of a thing for me where I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, wow, I really would love to like go. I want to go to the UK. I want to go to Thailand. I want to go here. I want to go there. And I'm like, wow, I really can't like do that stuff right now.
Yeah. Because you have Suka who can only be watched by you, Dylan, or me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if the three of us want to travel together,
yeah.
it's not a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that would be our big thing.
I think so too.
And then I would have to keep you traveling.
Yeah.
To be like, sorry, can't get another dog. We're going to Japan.
Sounds like a win-win to me. Japan or more dogs. And the way to ask for a vacation is I just start looking at shelters and stuff. And then you're like,
you and Abby are literally the same fucking human.
Yeah, that would
which
be
which is why I'm in love with both of you.
Yes.
This is the thing. And it's why you think both of you are in love with each other now.
Yes.
Yes. I think
agree.
We've got quite, everyone's just going to think we're
Abby
all
and
in
I
a
validate
trouble.
Each other.
Yes, you do. Oh, God.
This is a fun, different episode. I like this.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah.
Second date?
I'll check with my girlfriend. She'll be like, yeah, can I come?
Yeah.
All right, guys, that's it for today. Thank you for joining. If you like this, please subscribe. Please leave a comment. Joy will most likely be back. Maybe we'll do a second date.
Maybe
if you like it. But that's it. Thank you for being here.
Of course. Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Rachel Uncensored, the only place on the internet where you can find the uncensored version of me, Rachel Ballinger. I hope you enjoyed. If you did, please like, subscribe, or follow, or do whatever this platform tells you to do so that you can get notified every time I post a new episode. Love ya!
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.